Coach, in spite of the success that offenses have had against the Cowboys in the passing game, I think what the Cowboys are worse in the NFC East as far as defending the pass. How vital is Alfred Morris in this running game this week?
Oh, we believe in the running game, and we always want to have a great game plan. And usually teams that can run the football have a lot of success. We will always have that philosophy, and hopefully this week we can kind of get back to where we've been, running the football and play action game and those type of things.
How did Alfred look today, and do you have any doubt that he'll be ready for Sunday's game?
He had full practice today, so that's a good sign. So there was no setback, no limits on his carries in practice, so he should be ready to go.
I guess the owner released a letter today about this controversy about the name. Do you talk to your players about all this discussion, what's going on, and do you address it with them? What do you say?
No, you know, we concentrate on the game. I'm not sure how many players saw the letter. But personally, I was glad he expressed exactly how he feels from an ownership standpoint. I think I addressed that many a times in the off season. I said once the football season started, I'd concentrate on football, and I'd like to do that.
Mike, you know, some running backs might get frustrated by a decreased number of carries. You know, they want the ball and get frustrated by Alfred. Basically says, you know, he just wants to win. It doesn't matter how many carries he has. What does it say about his makeup, his mental strength, where he's
he's a great person. He's not selfish. He wants to carry the ball as many times as you'll give it to him. He wants to help the football team win, and so he's got the intangibles that you look for in a football player, and I think everybody saw that last year. And hopefully we can get him some more carries and have the success that he's had.
Did you say anything to him to keep him from getting discouraged, or is that just something naturally that he had an outlook on his own?
To carry the ball more?
No, to avoid getting frustrated and down about not being able to carry the ball as much because of the situation.
Well, I think what you do is once when you do carry the ball, you want to be successful, just like he was last year. You know, he can't dictate how many times he gets the ball, the flow of the game, if you're ahead, you're behind. All the things that we've talked about already. So he's a pretty smart guy. He understands those carries will come, and when they do come, he wants to take advantage of those opportunities.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about Dallas Week? I mean, what does it mean to you? Do you talk to the players about it? And does Dallas Week mean something different this season, given the division is really wide open?
Well, it's always wide open this early in the season. It never changes, regardless if you're 4-0 and 0-4 or 0-4. But everybody understands that within the division, how important the division is. You're guaranteed a home playoff game if you win your division. That's enough incentive right there, regardless if you're in the AFC or the NFC. It's very important for the football team to win the division. We know that right now it's up for grabs, but I still think it's up for grabs in all divisions, regardless of how you start.
But isn't this year a little different? No one's above 500.
Yeah, I think
the
everybody,
Giants are 0-5.
Yeah, I think everybody sees that, regardless what your record is, they do have a chance. So,
Dallas Week?
Yeah, I think everybody looks forward to the week. It's a big rivalry. It's been a big rivalry for we know how many years, and it's something we look forward to. Players know how important it is. Since I've been here, it's got bigger for me every year. I think as you grow part of any division rivalry, the more you games you play, the more intensity that goes with it. So it's something that I look forward to.
Mike, have you seen enough from Forbath right now that you don't have any lingering concerns there?
Yeah, right now he looked good today. He kicked today. I would say I don't, but you never know if something pops up. And I think a couple weeks ago it happened on a Thursday. We weren't anticipating anything wrong with him, so hopefully there is no setback. But today he looked good, and I anticipate him being ready for the game.
Mike, can you talk about your offensive line? I think you guys are first in the NFC in least sacks allowed, maybe second in the NFL, whatever the numbers are. Just overall, how they've held up in pass protection and your overall assessment through four games there.
You know, I don't get too much into those stats right now. It's still too early. You know, what you want to do is make sure you don't turn the football over. We still have to score more points. We got to get better in third downs. There's a lot of different areas that we're working to improve on every day. I think sacks is one of the things that we've done poor in the past that we're getting better at, and that's just a line coming together and the receivers, quarterback, that goes with getting rid of the ball and being on the same page with everybody. But trying to do the little things the right way, and hopefully we can get that done here this week.
Jim Haslett told us the other day he thinks Barry Cofield's the best nose tackle in football. What is it he's been doing this year that's made him so successful?
Well, Barry's a very talented player. Nose tackle is pretty good. I mean, I shouldn't say easy to evaluate, but you can see how a guy performs. Sometimes it's a one-gap defense, other times it's a two-gap defense. But he's a guy that does have quickness. He's got power. He's got ability to rush the quarterback and at the same time play the run extremely well. Not too many guys can do that.
This question isn't specific to you guys, but more schematic. Dallas runs two tight ends a bunch, but it seems like the number of teams in the league that can incorporate two tight ends in their passing game are few and far between. What makes it so difficult to do, you know, what New England did the last couple of years, where you actually have two tight ends running routes, influential as receivers at the same time?
It all depends what type of tight ends you have. There's not very many tight ends like New England that have the ability to run routes and run like wide receivers and have the size and the quickness to make plays. And if you have some wide receivers to go with it, those wide receivers, I mean, the tight ends are going against linebackers and safeties. So those mismatches, just like you saw last week with Denver, tight end got a lot of catches and took advantage of it.
You mentioned scoring more points. I think it's, what, only one offensive touchdown in the first half so far. How did you address that during the bye week?
Our players know that, you know, every play is 11 guys working on execution. So you don't hit one thing, you go over everything. And one thing we've been able to do through the years is, you know, different ways to move the football. But in order to move the ball effectively, you got to eliminate mistakes. So hopefully we'll do that over the next 12 games.
Mike, now that you've had, I believe, three practices to see Jarvis Jenkins and Rob Jackson, how confident are you that they'll be able to contribute? And can Jenkins walk right back into a starting role that he left?
We'll evaluate that, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, and for today, and Thursday and Friday, and kind of get a feel where they're at, then make a decision, you know, before the game what direction we're going to go.
Mike, after reviewing things over the bye, what areas of growth and improvement did you see out of Robert? Did you see anything that you didn't realize before?
Well, what you do is you get to go back, take a look at every pass play. You go play action, drop back, and, you know, you see him feeling more comfortable with himself. You can see him taking advantage of those reps and games situations. So I see him continually getting better and better as he feels he gets the reps that he needs.
Is he about where you expected he was going to be after the bye?
You never know. You never know. But, you know, talking to Robert, he feels good, and that's the main thing. If he's feeling good, and we're going to give him an opportunity to, you know, do a bunch of different things, and hopefully, you know, he plays at the level that he's played at.
How much work did Jordan Reed, was he able to do today, and same with Logan Paulson?
He was full practice today.
Both of them, Logan and Jordan?
Pardon me?
Logan Paulson as well?
No, Logan was limited. We probably have Jordan limited a little bit. We probably didn't practice him full, but he was pretty close to full today.
Mike, you talked before the bye, sort of the self-assessment and the self-evaluation you would do during the bye. Can you share at all anything that came out of that? Do you expect any changes of any significance as we emerge?
Well, at the end of the day, you're 1-3. You take a look at what you did well and what you did poorly. And we worked at least the last couple of days on things that we did poorly, so we can win a few more games. And, you know, this is a stretch. You got to start playing your best football now. Whatever stats you do have, they don't mean anything right now, but you want to start playing good football, and hopefully we can do that.
Tony Romo had this past Sunday, and he has so many different weapons to throw to between Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. Miles Austin was back at practice today. How do you make him uncomfortable? Because he's already shown when you get pressure on him, he can still improvise and make things happen, breaking out of the pocket. How do you make Tony Romo uncomfortable?
Well, if Tony knows exactly what you're doing, he's going to have a great day. You know, he's very accurate. He reads defenses extremely well. And if you don't make him a little bit uncomfortable, he's going to have a big day on you. And so he's got a lot of talent. It's always a matchup that I think you enjoy because he's got a lot of talent. He believes in what he does. But, you know, we got a lot of belief in our players as well.
Did you have anybody else limited today? Chris Neal, maybe?
Chris Neal, yeah, he did not practice today. I think it was at Logan. Everybody else looked like they're full go. Yeah, Jenkins is a little sore with his ankle. Probably have him listed as limited as well.
D'Angelo seems to get up for these matchups with Dez Bryant. He has D'Angelo does well against Dez Bryant. What is it that he does well when he matches up with them?
D'Angelo is a competitor. You know, you put him on a receiver, and he's going to go out there and fight, and he believes in himself, and he likes to go against the best players. And, you know, he's got that type of mindset. So it's always nice when you got a person that believes that he has the ability to shut down anybody, and Dez has got the, you know, mindset that he can beat anybody. So it's always a great matchup to see, you know, two great athletes compete against each other.
Mike, when you see some of the quarterbacks who've thrown for some big numbers these previous couple of games against the Cowboys, do you guys look at that at all? How much do you try to incorporate some of those things into the game plan, and how much do you try to take advantage of some of those similarities?
Well, you take a look at Phillip Rivers. You know, he did a great job. You take a look at Peyton Manning. You got two experienced guys. You take a look at Kansas City, and you take a look at St. Louis, and you take a look at defense, played very well. I think if you count both those games up, they probably gave about 270 yards up. And even against Eli, you know, they had six turnovers. I believe three interceptions and four fumble. No, maybe it was three and three, six turnovers. But, you know, they've done a good job. And a couple quarterbacks got hot, still had a chance to win a couple more games. They lose to Kansas City 17-16. They got a chance to beat Denver. So we understand what type of football team this is. And they've, you know, done some great things on both sides of the ball. We just got to make sure we play one of our better games.
Overall, how different does their front look going from a 34 to a 43 under Monty?
It's always different. It's a different philosophy. Got a lot of respect for Monty. Been going against him for a lot of years, both at the collegiate level and the professional level. He's a heck of a football coach, heck of a scheme.
Offensively, because they've changed schemes, do you still look back at the film of last year's games as much as you typically would, or do you watch how offense is comparable to you have played them, like more of those types of film, just because of the new defense?
Sometimes when you go back and you look at games last year with a different scheme, it's about personnel, studying, you know, someone from last year, might be a defensive end, linebacker, secondary, not as much scheme. See if somebody's changed, you know, within the last year or how they were playing, but not from a strategy standpoint.
And looking back at your third down woes, can you put a finger on what's going wrong there, and how paramount is it to be successful this week in keeping their offense off the field?
Well, the one thing you do is when you take a look at third downs, it's across the National Football League. The teams that have success on third downs usually have great days. If it's Dallas 4-for-6 or Denver, whatever they were, 9-for-12 or 13, both offenses did very well. And, you know, put a lot of pressure on that quarterback in those situations, and I thought they handled it well. But you're always working, just like we did last year after the bye week, to get better in those third down areas, and that's what we're doing now. We're paying a lot of attention to it, and hopefully it'll show dividends this Sunday night.